Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Don't Call Me White Girl podcast. Dre, is this my camera? Hello, my beautiful people at home. I have a special guest for you live in LA. I don't know if you heard, but I have relocated and I live here in Hollywood. And this is one of my newest friends. Yoo-hoo! It's Lil Russell.
Come on.
I'm super excited.
Love it.
I'm always super excited when I find my own people. I was just talking to Russell before we started. I was introduced to you from a freestyle. What caught my attention, though, was I'm assuming you're Free Game Fridays, but I feel like even if it's not Free Game Friday, you still giving out free game. You know what I mean?
You know.
How long you been rapping, though? How did you start getting into rap?
I've been rapping forever, since like 7.
Yeah.
And I started with my sister. We used to play CDs in a boombox and just rap over them.
Mm-hmm.
And then we, from there, just kind of kept going. I just never stopped.
Mm-hmm. You went to college, or what was your major when you went?
I went to college briefly for like 3 months, and I was doing business administration.
I think that's what I went to school for. I got like 2 credits.
Yeah, I probably got a couple credits in there.
I feel like that's the like entrepreneur dreamer kind of.
Right.
Because it's like, it's so open, it's so broad, you could take it any kind of way you want to, but you
realize
school's
not for
you.
I didn't really want to go to school. I feel like it's one of those choices you make when you're like, I'm not really trying to go to school, but I'm going to figure it out.
Yeah.
So that was my lane.
You know what it was? When I was growing up, people would say, if you get out of school, right, like as far as high school, and you didn't pick something to do right away, you would get into trouble. Like, you with that idle time would get you into trouble, because I'm from Philadelphia, it's kind of rough over there. And I did. Like, when I didn't go to school, like, I changed my plans from going to college.
Huh.
I was, like, in jail by 21.
I went to college years after school.
Oh, you like, did? So you were off at first?
Yeah.
Doing what?
Just working.
Okay.
Yep.
UPS.
UPS, winery, FedEx, aerospace.
Yeah.
Whole lot of shit.
Dreaming from there, though, knowing you're going to do this. Like, this is,
definitely.
Even if you start rapping at a young age, do you know you're going to, like, make it a career, like you're rich and famous off of rap? Did you think it would be like that?
I didn't. I used to speak about it like wishfully, you know, as just a young nigga, like, we're gonna make it. But I wasn't dedicated in the aspect like doing everything I needed to do it. It was just like a wishful thing. I knew I'd be something.
Yeah, but you didn't necessarily know rap.
Right.
Did your flow ever change? Did you ever rap? Like, was you ever want some gangster rap shit? Because I feel like, to me, your music is feel-good music for me. Like, it makes me a bit positive. It don't put me... I was telling Russell, like many of you know at home, I like really ignorant rap music. I like drill music, drug dealer music, trap music. I like all that. I tend to not listen to music that's not, like, negative, super negative, but you're somebody that you can listen to if for some reason it don't feel like, oh, I'm listening to good, you know what I mean?
Right.
It just feels good about you. But you said you feel like you got a lot of them type of fans.
My shit was always life rap, and I feel like everybody who's lived a life could you know, associate and correlate with it. It resonate with everybody.
Yeah.
It ain't the most gangster shit, because I ain't lived the most gangster life, but it, you know, it's a good mix. I've had my own experiences that I get to share, so everybody get to resonate. It's just life.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. And you so honest about shit. And I think that's why I'm popular now too. People like that. People like that you honest and you say, like, what is it, something that you say when you saying something about one of the, I don't know, get yourself together. That's the closer.
Yeah.
That's my shit.
Yeah.
That's my shit. When I plan that when I start working out, I'm gonna listen to shit.
GT
like
Coop, come on.
Yeah. You still running sitting there, GT Coop. I almost said the man was from Sacramento. He was completely offended. Where are you from?
Vallejo. Yeah.
But that's the Bay.
Come on.
Y'all used to go dumb, but now you go stupid.
We was going stupid and dumb at the same time.
Okay, so that's played out.
Yeah.
It's
still in us. You know, it's still in us. It's an energy. It never died.
Yeah. I feel like the Bay, I told Russell, I was introduced to the Bay by Keek the Sneak. Surprised by that. Why?
Because he's not like the largest. Like most people who's from the East Coast, when they say, oh, yeah, I'm on Bay Music, they always say 40 or short.
Yeah.
You know, I or Hammer. But yeah. I've seldomly heard Keep the Sneak, so that's fire.
Yeah, because that's the thing about the Bay. I think the Bay is similar to Philadelphia in that way, as far as like, it's just so much culture, your own language, your own flow, your own dressing. People kind of know y'all. And y'all definitely, especially with me being from the East Coast, where it's like, you have Los Angeles, that's what people think about. But I know the difference in the Bay. I feel like Bay people are more laid back. They kind of gangster too, but I'm not gonna say you be fighting and wrestling and shit. But I see a lot of crazy videos out of the Bay. But I just feel like the Bay people, to me, the Bay people are laid back and they got their own style, and it's just something just cool about y'all. And for me, it was Freak the Sneak. It was people getting hyped, people ghost riding the whip. Right, I ghost ride my whip. I did it. I was in high school.
Right, YouTube, man. Dangerous. Shout out YouTube. YouTube put the culture global.
For
We met somebody from Alabama. And she was like, man, I know about yiking and all this shit. And I was like, how? And she was like, YouTube.
Yeah.
It's really dope how the culture get to expand, for sure. You know, through the internet.
For sure. But for me, like I feel like when I come out here, because I want to live here, Russell.
In here. L.A. or in Cali?
In Cali. I don't want to live in Los Angeles because I don't think I could afford it. I don't got the money yet. Like, I'm not up yet. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I feel
way. But I want to live like right outside of it. I like the fact that it's always hot. It's just a certain feel over here in California that feels different than East Coast. East Coast people are mean. Nobody says hello.
Man. Right? It's a different energy, but it's also like I love New York. I love the energy of the people out there, but it's definitely a meaner spirit.
Yeah.
But niggas be going through a lot more.
You think so?
I think so. Like when you wake up and you gotta sit in that kind of traffic, or you like you gotta deal with a nigga on it, like it's just different. Yeah. You feel me? Like you got a different edge to you.
Yeah. It's almost like people kinda, I don't know, it's like a corny thing. Like if somebody wakes up in the morning and you in Philadelphia and you traveling and your plan is to like say good morning to people, you might get a fuck you or
two. You're a loser.
Nobody wants to hear that shit.
That's hella funny.
It's a way we greet each other, but it's a way that East Coast people do show love and greet each other, you know, but it's just not in the like, yoo-hoo, you can't do that where we at, like, you know? I think it's another reason why you stand out, though, because you make people feel good.
Right, and it's necessary. You feel me? It's necessary. We were just talking about that. One of the homies came from Thailand, and he was saying how everybody out there greets each other and say good morning, so it's hard for you to walk around like an asshole.
Do they do a full bow when they greet each other?
Yeah, that was a gesture, so you feel me? I think that's what it is. We need more niggas to start greeting each other so niggas won't
straight
feel like
bow,
that.
Niggas go through a lot. We should all bow to each other for
right?
real.
You know what I notice? Like, I be often, like, at shows and shit, I'm always kind of just, this is my pose when I'm dealing with a lot, and I just kind of come here. And I notice I got niggas to do it. Like, niggas be walking past, and they'll come up to me like this. You feel me? They just reflect it. So
yeah.
We might just need more niggas to say hello and good morning.
Yeah. So when you rapping right and you going through, you go to 3 months to school, you're working these jobs. What happens with you doing your rap where it's like, oh, shit, I might could do this for real, for real? Like, what's that first big moment for
you? I dropped an album in 2018. And it start kind of just getting some motion. Like, all the homies was fucking with it. My family was fucking with it. And one day, I had took mushrooms. And I had went to the park. I'm just walking around. And a truck passed by. And it was slapping the intro to the album. And it was like, it was a moment of like, nigga, this is your path.
Right.
Right? It was just like validation from the universe. Like, you doing what you supposed to do. Yeah. And it's kind of been up since.
Yeah. I planned to do shrooms when I got over here, but Phelps didn't find them yet. Do you do shrooms often?
I used to do it a lot more often than I do it now, but I still do shrooms probably like once or twice a year.
Yeah, I feel like the first time doing shrooms, I should be like in a cave or like in a somewhere like in the hills.
Go outside, man. Yeah, go
feel
in
like
the
my
grass.
My first shroom can't be in Philadelphia in a project somewhere. It's just not going to be a good high.
It's going to be intense. That's a lot of energy. One time I took shrooms and we needed water, so we had to go to Walmart. Nigga, I found out why people be fighting up in there.
What?
Because it's so much energy. It's like, it just make you want to sock a nigga if you're not feeling good. You feel me? It's too much. Everybody going through their shit. People impatient. Like, it's just it's a nasty space to be in. So when you on shrooms, you feel all of that. You kind of, you take in that collective energy.
Yeah, me and Dre were just talking about we were going to do shrooms together. Because Dre's not really a drug guy.
Yeah, do it. Yeah. And shrooms is for the niggas who's like, not the drug addicts. You feel me? Because you never going to want to do it again after. Like, after you do it, you're going to be so high, you're going to be like, I'm not going to fuck with that for a little bit. So it's not an addictive drug, you feel me?
Right, Dre, it's not
going to
make you
drink lean. But it's enlightening,
bro.
It's life-changing. It's going to really, like, the way you see everything. I mean, unless you already just a great nigga, and then it's like, you may not even get that. But for those who is, like, going through some shit or just need to see a little bit more, it's definitely eye-opening.
Yeah, you notice how popular they're getting now?
Yeah, it's definitely a wave now. But
with niggas, because I feel like with the niggas white used boys, to look at
shoes like crack. Man, when I first got offered shoes, I was like, hell nah, right. Nigga, you feel me? Because growing up, we look at shoes like, yeah. Nigga, that's the crate. That's the white people drugs. Right. But nah, it's real healing.
Now niggas is, we on that.
Yeah. I think that's a good wave, though. If anything, gonna be a wave.
You know why? Because guess what? I kept hearing it. Of course, if you are not sleep or under a rock, you know that like the opiate crisis is real. Mm-hmm. And it's so much drug dealer music, you know? Right. We just had a conversation about, and I don't even want to say his name because I don't want to be corny, but it's like a big rapper and he talks about getting high a lot. And we had this huge debate on whether do you think he really do drugs or not? Because I know motherfuckers that do drugs for real, Russell.
Right.
Okay. And some of these motherfuckers rap and sing about it all day long. And for me, it might sound stupid, but I think that's kind of corny for you to rap about.
It's
I mean, when
corny.
You're rapping about specific drugs on a regular basis and in real life, you don't do them drugs. That's weird
if
as shit.
If you're rapping about anything that you don't, that could be detrimental, that you don't fully participate in or do, you a lame. You corny.
Think so?
Like just naturally.
Why?
Because you have a billion things that you could choose to rap about, including your own life, but you choose to portray a narrative that's not true and it's influencing people and it's detrimental. And it's like, nigga, why choose that of all things to say? And you ain't even do it your damn self.
Right.
So it's definitely corny.
Yeah. I feel like with all this stuff, it's always like an artistry. Because it's like with me, with jokes. Like, I don't know if you know, but I do stand-up comedy. And like for me, some of them shows, depending on where I'm at, it might be all venomous. It's funny, but it's mean. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes I can tell where I'm at in my life or what I'm going through by the stuff that I talk about. But I always think about that in a way of, I don't think people understand just the responsibility that comes with a platform. No matter how high up your platform is, somebody's child is really studying you, listening to that shit, liking it. But I feel like at what point is it past you being an artist, you just wanting to put something out? And all right, for example, I was a fan of Eminem as a kid. Right?
Yeah, of course.
Eminem rapped about killing Kim. That was what he did on a regular basis, killing his mother, saying, you know, and I always looked at him like that was art. I never thought that he might kill Kim. And I understood that he was from the trailer park and she would cheat on him or they beat each other, whatever, right?
Right.
But I still enjoy when he told these long stories about throwing her off the pier with his daughter.
To me, with Eminem, it doesn't feel the same as it be feeling today. Because I feel like that was his real life. And it was believable to me. Like, everything that nigga used to say was like, this nigga, he might do it. You feel me? It felt very true to his life. But we see a lot of rap now, and it's like, nigga, you're lying.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very clear and adamant. It's not even at an artistic point, because some of the music don't even be great. You're just lying.
Right.
Off beat.
Right.
Like, you feel me?
And
it's not even...
Unpopular opinion. I was a fan of Tekashi. Okay, I liked the kind of music Tekashi made. I liked how wild he was. I liked, because I knew some of his older shit, and I understood the whole, like, do crazy shit for people to look at you. I was shocked when he went so hard with the music, because he wasn't always hard like that.
Right.
You know what I mean? And not only did he go hard, it was like overnight he became like a gangbanger. But as crazy as that story is, and how he tell on 57 niggas the next year, and everybody call him a rat, it's like... It's so many Tekashis with this shit. It's just, they might not troll like he do, but a lot of them are on some Tekashi shit.
And I mean, I feel like with shit like that, it's like, you have to look at all parties involved. Because there was a bunch of niggas who validated and allowed Tekashi to be Tekashi and be a part of their organization and infrastructure as well.
That was crazy.
You feel me?
Who the
like,
fuck let Tekashi? Who did his initiation?
You feel me?
Who
somebody jumped
shit,
him
his
in.
Carfax. Somebody jumped him in. Is it a lot of gang culture in the Bay like it is the rest of the
It's
Cali?
Not like gangs in a traditional form. It's more like cliques and neighborhoods.
Like streets and neighborhoods and
exactly.
Shit. Yeah. Did you find it hard to avoid that kind of shit? Because you come up in a two-parent household, correct?
Yeah.
I've seen your parents. You're very close-knit with your family. It's just you and your sister?
I got three sisters.
And you the only boy?
Yep.
They used to beat your ass, didn't they?
Wow, everybody's saying this.
They did.
It was, man, it was
what
equal.
Was your,
it was equal.
Ages?
I'm the youngest, too.
Oh, they used to whoop your ass.
Yeah, it was equal smoke, though.
Oh, you was giving our ass with
yeah.
Respect.
Everybody
respect.
Get up.
Slam your sister. Close line your sister. Okay. No. But how was it though growing up with all them sisters?
I was always kind of to myself often. You feel me? So, and I had like cousins, and I grew up at a time where kids was outside. So I had hella friends outside. So it wasn't even like.
How old are you?
28.
Okay.
Yeah, so I don't think it altered he's too much, you feel me?
Yeah. He has the same birthday as Gary.
A legend.
Yeah. I don't know. People say y'all lie a lot.
Yeah.
People say it. Don't people say that? I'm not the first person that told you that.
Nah.
You've never heard Libras
like,
lie.
Like, just Libras in general?
They're liars.
I mean, I think people are liars in general.
Okay, but all you never heard them. The Libra thing, ever.
Nah, lying ass Libras. I have.
You thought I made
that
I've
heard
up.
Such.
Okay, so also, I wanted to mention how supportive your family seems. Were they always supportive of you having a rap dream? Because I feel like parents is almost like, get a job, nigga.
They was always supportive of me just being me. Whether that was rap, working, anything I was doing, they was just supportive of me being me.
You got a good family, LaRusso.
Yeah, exceptional, exceptional.
Yeah, yeah. Sisters real supportive of your music, too?
Yeah, my whole family. Early, it was like I wasn't making great music for anyone to really be a supporter of, but it was still like, it was never like a, hey, nigga, don't do that. You feel me?
Yeah. Who makes the decision to start doing the parties at the shows at the house? Because that's like.
That was me.
You a young legend.
But it was a tradition just expanded. Like, I grew up in the party house my whole life, my pops and moms. We used to have a TV in the front yard watching the boxing matches.
Oh, y'all
like,
was
we
that
was
house
always
on the block.
Always, you feel me? Like, my uncle used to do concerts and stand up in the backyard, so I was really just carrying
tradition.
Your uncle's
a stand-up comedian.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
And so you get this out, because I feel like the first thing people would think, because I just, first of all, when you have a real fan base and they really fuck with you, you could feel that love for them. They're very protective
Definitely.
Of you. But I feel like nowadays shit's so crazy, the first thing people gonna think is like, are you worried about everybody knowing where you live, even though most people probably already know where the fuck you live at.
Niggas been knowing where I live my whole life.
Yeah. So it's you do your new. Backyard concert and it's big to the point where guests come through, everybody come through, everybody on the block.
Yeah, and it's respected still. The neighborhood respected. Like, I'm really from where I'm from. Mm-hmm. So everyone knows me, whether from a kid growing up here, there, or we connected in some way. So, I mean, it's just respected. It's a safe place in the hood.
Yeah. So as far as, like, of course, you get big, you go viral, it's exciting. How do you like being famous? Like, how do you, right now, if you go to the Walmart, like we were just talking, you getting stopped a lot, correct?
Usually we get stopped kind of everywhere we go now, but it's still not excessively. It depends on where I'm at.
Yeah.
If I'm at home, niggas know me at home. If I'm in L.A., it's occasional. If I'm in New York, it's occasional. So it depends on where we at. So it's not to that level yet where I'm like, I hate it.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like,
it's a lot.
It's embraced. You feel me? Like, I mean, I'd rather have niggas stop me because they fuck with me than stop me because they don't fuck with me.
Yeah. I feel like with me, I never thought about it.
Right.
So once it start to happen, it freaked me out a little bit. I ain't gonna lie. I
right?
don't know.
It be intense sometimes.
Boy, COVID came out, these motherfuckers don't even care.
And some niggas be weird. Like, they don't tell you they a fan. So it's just like you have to kind of analyze first.
Yeah.
And that could get a little contemptuous because you don't know how you need to handle a situation.
Yeah,
so it's definitely a change. You feel me? But it's kind of dope for us. We get a lot of embrace. Even my mama got it now. Like, she famous. And people fuck with her, you
Do
know?
She like
so,
it?
Yeah, she love it.
Yeah. The person that doesn't like it the most is my son. He's 8. Somebody approached us at, I think we was in Disney World. And he was like, buddy, you're a little rude. We're trying to eat dinner. He asked me, no, seriously,
yeah.
Because that's the thing. When you go through this, because you don't have children yet, right?
I have a daughter.
Do you?
Yep.
Are you with her mom?
Are we together?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Okay. All right. Is that your only baby? You want more?
I don't think I'm going to have another child. I think I'm going to keep it there.
That's it?
Yeah.
That's not fair. I was the only child. I was extremely lonely. I don't recommend that. I'm telling you.
I mean, it depends on, like, the environment you grow up in. She's not lonely. She got people
cousins,
around her who love her
said.
And
she
fuck with
cousins.
Her and all that. Yeah.
She needs
and she got parents.
Right. She has parents, two of them. But she needs a sibling, somebody to conspire to do bad shit with. You know what I mean? Seriously, I think it's a need. When you only child, I was like weird as shit. And most people that I know, the only child, they're weird too. Because you know Phelps is the only child.
See, but she not. She's like the coolest nigga you could meet.
How old is she?
10.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and she hella cool.
Damn, so you had her, what, 18, fresh out?
17.
How was that?
Intense.
Scary as shit,
intense,
right?
Intense, scary, very, like, I've just recently gotten to the point in the past few years where I'm, like, really embracing fatherhood, and I'm like, wow, this is really cool. This is, I get to nurture and I get to be,
before you know, super anxious.
Before I just, I mean, not even just anxious, just like resentment. Like, you know, when you have a kid very young and you're not prepared, it really throws like a blow in your life. And true. You don't know how to navigate those kind of emotions early. So it just turned into a bunch of nasty emotions. You know, like I've always been present and did what I needed to do, but not in the capacity that I am now, where it's like,
that's such an honest fucking answer.
Yeah,
I don't think I've ever heard a father say, but that's it's real. And I think a lot of fathers go through that. I know, as far as like, I always crack jokes about my cousins, but it's like I've seen some of them, like the men in my family, be so worn down by the dealings with the mother of their child, or trying to raise them, trying to pay child support, that it's like, I mean, they like, fuck them kids. I've seen men get to that point, and not necessarily men that are deadbeats. It's just a lot on you. And God forbid if you didn't, you're blessed to have an example of what a father is growing up with your father, but so many men don't.
Right.
And I feel like you had this baby young. It's not, of course you make the decision to have sex unprotected, right? But right after you make that decision, you don't have any more decision in it. So if you sit and talk to this girl and you like, I don't think it's the time. I don't think we close enough. I don't think, she could be like, well, fuck what you think, bitch. Now we go together and I'm keeping this motherfucking baby. You know, I know for a fact, like I've never met a man that told me, and this doesn't mean it doesn't happen, but I've never had a male friend say, well, I got a pregnant on purpose, I trapped her. I've never heard that.
Never.
But I have had conversations. I don't think it ever happens.
Nick Cannon, would you please speak?
No, let's be clear, yo, because I did kill me in the comments. I believe that it's happened. Of course it's happened, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
But I have had conversations with a girl that was like, girl, yeah, and I got pregnant. Like, so it's like, because even with me, with my son, it's like, I need him to understand that, like, that's the power that you have protecting your semen. It's special. Those are your babies, you know.
And it's very difficult to learn how to navigate a space or, like, enter a space lovingly when it starts in resentment of any form. Like, when you feel like somebody betrayed you or they did something against your will, because like most of the times at that age, you don't have accountability. Like most 17-year-olds, you ain't got no fucking accountability. Like you could barely do a lot of shit. You feel me? So it's very hard to re-enter into a loving space and embrace it and accept it, because you feel like, you know, like it was a wrench thrown into your process at some point.
Right. Especially when you're in a situation where the girl might say they're not going to keep it, or you might even give up money towards not, you know, keeping it, or just sometimes she won't talk to you. She won't talk to you until it's the point where there's nothing to do but have a baby, because of course adoption is not that popular, especially not with our community. That's not really people will shun you for doing adoption more in the Black community. You know, it might sound strange. People will shun you or look at you funny for giving up your baby for adoption over if you have abortion. Over and over and over, which is crazy when you think about it. But I do think that's something else. And I feel like, you know, I seen men struggle with that. I just respect you being that honest, because a lot of times, even when I notice a man might struggle raising their kid and it comes across like they're deadbeats or they don't care about them, and then when they do try to appear, and maybe you coming around to baby six or the baby seven, the baby's eight. It take a lot for a man to say, well, back then this is how I felt and I didn't know how to deal with it. It made me want to rage, you know, run away.
And brother, so much like guilt and shame that come with that shit that some men can never say that. So they just choose to do nothing. For the entirety. That's so they can avoid it. And it's not even because like they don't really want to. It's just like there's a lot of emotion that come with that shit that men do not know how to navigate.
That's
right,
Russell. Wow, you need to be like a counselor or something, you know, a mutual speaker. Me and LaRussell both, we have a friend that's a friend in common, Wallow. Because you say that, yeah. Wallow helped you. Wallow helped me out a lot too.
Yeah,
he bald head and he's silly, but he a good guy.
Right, he's a good nigga.
Yeah, I feel like when niggas do. Like, niggas don't really talk about shit like that. Like, for me, it's kind of taboo. Like, if I do something for somebody, I don't want necessarily to get on social media and say, she do this, he do that, do this. But it's like, I keep meeting people that Wallow's actually helping in real life. Like, fuck a like or some social media bullshit. Like, legit getting niggas jobs. It's like, damn, Wallow might be a thorough guy.
Right.
Damn. He's bad as I thought. Yeah, I told Russell he should do $1 million worth of game. I think that'll be a nice hookup.
Yeah, it's coming. It's coming for sure.
I wanted to do this episode in your backyard, and I wanted to sit Indian style and say yoo-hoo with the big buff mic.
Yeah, you got to come to the pergola. Dre didn't want to do
it. Exactly.
Hater.
He is, bro. I wanted to show me your neighborhood. I wanted to meet your mom.
That's crazy.
I wanted a hot dog. You know what they said?
That nigga greeted
me
like,
how many fucking hours that is from L.A.? That's not what y'all said to me.
That's crazy.
Thank you. But that's really what I wanted to do. I'm so jealous. I be
you
watching.
Gotta come. Y'all gotta come to a backyard. Y'all gotta. Well, you gotta come. They not invited. You gotta come to a backyard show.
For sure. I really wanna come. I fuck with Simba, Child of Simba. That's your folks. Y'all had a show coming up, if I wasn't mistaken. But I don't know if it was there or something.
We did
else.
A show in Frisco together.
How was it?
At home. And man, it was crazy. Packed.
Yeah.
Packed.
Yeah. I fuck with Simba. We do advice hour here. We let people call up and give advice. You give advice a lot. You don't get tired of giving out advice?
Not necessarily. Sometimes I don't be trying to give advice. I just be talking.
Where y'all get them questions from when you do it in the show?
We let the people. So all the people who follow us and fuck with us, they got a form and they can go fill out, ask whatever they want to. And we just.
Before I do this advice question real quick, because they'll be upset if they don't. What's any free game you can give to any of my followers that I have a whole lot of followers that want to be podcasters. They just want to be content creators in general. And they tired of hearing me say the year of the word. I'm like one of those the women entrepreneurs that do women empowerment events for $800. I'm more one of them. The word for this year is monetization, ladies. Do you have any advice? Can you give them some advice, my people? Because LaRussell know what he doing. It seems like it, LaRussell.
Yeah, to get started. Like, I often meet a lot of people who like, I want to, if I can. It's like, nigga, start.
Right.
You don't really want to if you ain't got started. You feel me? As simple as that. Do 10 of them, do one first, then do 10, then do 100, then do 1,000. We just get a lot of people who complain before they even shoot anything. Mm-hmm. It's like, you ain't even got 10 and you complaining. Yeah. How you going to make it and you ain't even get yourself 10 tries?
Yeah. What I notice a lot with the people that ask me for advice, a lot of them want to skip past all the steps. So people legit will say, damn, I remember when you first went viral. Now you got this big show. Put me on. Come on now. Put me on. Like, it's this special code word that just gets you in.
It is.
Like,
it's called work.
That's really all it is. I don't think people realize it. And you know what else? And I always talk about this on the podcast and everywhere I go, because I feel like once I learned it, I wanted to share that. I come from an urban area. I feel like in urban areas, especially on my side where we're from, we are not taught to like dream or manifest or speak positive over our lives. Me just going from I might, I wanna, when I to I am changed so much shit. And it sound corny, but I'm not a corny bitch and I would not lie to you. You have to almost sometimes, depending on where your starting point is. So like me, I was like a person that would get depressed, and I will also, because I got a felony young, I always tell people this, that shit really made me feel like I was limited to do things. You know what I mean? I feel like I didn't stand up as straight. It's like when you come out of high school and you young and you got the world at your feet and everybody like, I wish I could be your age or whatever. Felonies are knock that motherfucking shit right off of your shoulder. And you be because there's so many opportunities that you can't get. And I'm talking about back when they wasn't even throwing like the felon get this job, that job vibe. You was just fucked, you know?
Right.
For me, like, a lot of people are so afraid to fail. And they get like that because they weren't taught to dream. You might tell your peer, somebody that you love to death, a cousin, a family member, aunt, your big dream, and they will shoot your shit down and right. say, girl, you can't do that. Yeah, right. Don't nobody do that around here. And it's like, I've seen people look at that a couple ways. One way it's like, oh, this person's a hater and I don't fuck with them. But for me, I more see like you so scared to fail that you even scared I'ma fail.
Right.
And it's like
Jeez.
Knowing how to gauge that because you just taking that leap of faith for trying, you can inspire your 60-year-old aunt. You know, you right. can inspire the whole motherfucking family because you doing shit. I'm doing shit that my family nobody has done. Nobody from my family hit the paper if it wasn't a crime.
Right. And if you would have based what you could do based on what was done in the past, you wouldn't even be here.
Fuck
and
no.
that's what everybody else do. They base what's possible based on what everybody else accomplished. You feel me? We just yesterday I was reading this book by Rick Rubin and it had a quote, but basically it ended in like, failure is data, right? Failure just teaches you everything that don't work so facts. You can revise the strategy and go do everything that do work.
Big facts. Yeah. I at this point, like for me, I tell people like, and I don't know if it's good advice or bad advice, but that's just how I handle shit. I always come across like I'm a super confident person. There was never a time where I was like, because I started just making videos online. That's it. Mm-hmm. And I ain't make no money. And with me, people with, like take them and flip them or whatever. So a lot of times I wouldn't even get the numbers.
Right.
Like my shit would go viral right. everywhere else. But what I noticed was the more I did it, the more people came looking for me. And then they really liked my style, you know. It almost seemed like I would say something, I would go viral saying it. And people would act like they never heard nobody say that before. Right. So they would be kind of looking for the person that said it, which put me at a point where I could really sell anything now because I got them. So I always tell people, especially people when they leave that, I know I'm the funniest or I know I'm this and I do that the best. It's like, if you know you good at that, that's half the battle. Now mm-hmm. the other half is, how do you show people?
Exactly.
I feel like we are at a great time, you know, now. So many black people are entrepreneurs and business people. I think that a lot of people need to understand that that's not a job for everybody. Everybody is not mm-hmm. built for that entrepreneurship. You got to have a strong back for that shit.
Right.
It's a very up and down thing, you know. And also, I feel like everybody can't be, you know, queen or king bee or whatever. It got to be worker bees. Some people
right. Every
do
role
better
is necessary.
Working as a team and, you know, because everybody want to be a boss now. That's just, you right. know, due to social media or whatever. But I feel like once you find your lane, bro, the worst thing that can happen is you fail. And really, that's not even the worst thing that can happen.
That's light.
I know what I wanted to do with this podcast because the first podcast I made, nobody watched it but my cousins. I 36 views, I got 36 cousins, you know?
Right.
But I knew exactly what I wanted to do here. I didn't walk around with my head then about it. It didn't beat me up like that. You know what I mean?
Right.
And you give yourself a certain amount of grace, like especially where you come from. I come from a background of I was committing crimes and shit, Russ. You know, I can't believe this shit. I'm like a fucking entertainer.
Right?
You know what I mean?
You won.
They don't even check my record. They got me BET.
It don't even matter no more. Right? It don't
even
matter no more.
Because they would, you know, now right. these big Paramount would hire me. They don't know about the right? shit I did.
Right?
They don't even know. Are we going to play the voicemail and let LaRussell answer for the people? Are you up to it?
What's up?
You got to listen to the voicemail and give this person advice. It's going to be a dumb question, I'm telling you.
This is dope. You're doing like a Miss Cleo column.
Yeah.
Huh.
Like that. I just watched that documentary, too. It was good. I got to tell y'all that. Pause real fast. Do you know anything about the Murdoch murders?
Uh-uh.
Knew you wasn't. He's too positive for that. Just keep going. Let's just keep going.
Hey, don't call me white girl, a.k.a. Damona, the queen of Philly. I got a question for you. I recently separated with my wife, and due to me cheating about 8-9 months ago, I'm interested in finding out, being that I went to counseling and I did the proper steps to believe that I can achieve to get my wife back, and it's still not working, should I just say, all right, it's done? and just continue just to be the father for my kids? Or should I keep trying even though it ain't getting me nowhere, and I'm not really feeling the trying situation, to be honest with you. And all signs are pointing that I should just run like a track star. But I would like some insight on it. You're a good woman. Tell me what a good man
you're a that good left, woman.
Made mistakes should do.
See, like, I got Thank news you. For you, nigga. I got I some news a, for you, nigga.
I am a good woman. Go ahead. You got any advice for him?
Not really, but I mean, he didn't sound the most confident in his change. He said, I believe that I'm, and it's like, if you believe, then you probably didn't do the work to know. So I feel like usually if you still feeling in that state, like you believe you're good enough to do something, then, you know, the work isn't done. You still got a lot more to do. And it's like, that shit is like, cheating is an impersonal thing, right? It has everything to do with you and nothing to do with whoever else is on the
that's
other
what
side,
Dre says.
Right? So, like, that's some shit that he really gotta work through. Especially if it's like a cycle, then it's just gonna continue until you kind of break that and find out why you're doing it and fill that void. But he didn't sound confident in his ability to be a better person at this point. So he probably just need to rock and just do his thing by himself.
He definitely gave me, like, I went to therapy so I could tell her, bitch, I talked to the people. I done right. talked to the
hey,
people.
Right. I and that's what it be. I went and talked to the lady.
I'm tired
she said.
I'm in my grandma's house now. I done talked to the people.
Right.
I prayed three times. Let me back in.
Right.
I don't know.
That nigga went to counseling for cheating. You not in, and that's the thing. Like, if you going to counseling, it's not for cheating. Like, you supposed to be going for like
to figure out what's
cheating.
Up.
Cheating is the fruit of it, right? Right? There's a root of it, and there's a fruit of it, and cheating is the fruit of it. And I didn't went to counseling for the fruit, so it's still more work to do.
Yeah, I feel like I don't know, and I also think that sometimes if a woman is mature enough to know that she can't really deal with that shit, you should kind of take the lead, because I think that's the worst kind of relationship, when you trying again and she keep talking about that shit, keep bringing it up, or y'all just always have to like revert back to what happened in the, because it's like, if she's saying no in the beginning, that could be totally indicative of her just not being ready or not even healed or didn't even forgive you yet. You know what I mean? Because that's what it takes when it comes to being cheated on. It's a very, like, disloyal kind of feeling. You know what I mean? And I'm speaking from a place of a person that did a lot of cheating. I didn't get cheated on a lot. You know? When the cheaters, I always come from that aspect, because a lot of times cheaters feel like, it's nothing. I was just spending time with this person, or I'm using this person for money, or I'm doing whatever. But that's really the truth of it all, where the cheater usually has a whole nother issue that they're kind of avoiding. And that's why, you know, dealing with different people is way easier, because if you worried about helping somebody put out their fire, you completely forget about the fire that's in your backyard. And that was right. definitely my situation. And I remember the last time I was in like a relationship and I cheated and I got caught, I never forget how hurt he seemed, and never forget how bad I felt. That's the first time I ever really felt that. Before, I didn't attach men to those kind of feelings, right? So I would look at it like, a man will be mad you cheated on him, or maybe embarrassed, but he don't give a fuck. You know, you just keep rolling. Totally not true. Y'all feeling
and
hurt too.
You know what's crazy? That we can go a long time without processing that understanding of emotion. Like one time off topic, but we had to go pick up my daughter and we was late, so she had to sit in the office for a little while. And when I got her, I was like, oh man, are you upset? And she was like, no, I'm just sad. And that was very eye-opening to me, because as a kid I would have been mad, like, oh, y'all forgot about me, y'all late. But she was just sad that we did it, that we didn't think about her enough to be on time. You feel me? And that's what that is. You don't understand that, yeah, some niggas be mad, but some people are really just genuinely hurt that you did what you did.
And I don't know, you know, but for me, that was like a big turning point in my life, because I really did not look at him in that way.
You
like,
stopped cheating after that?
Yeah, I've never, like, I don't, like, and not even that, I even slowed down with getting in relationships because I would get in a relationship real quick because I knew I wouldn't follow none of these motherfucking rules anyway. I don't give a fuck. It ain't for real for me, you know?
Right.
But now, as soon as it even come near or go there, I kind of back off because I know I'm not ready for that. You know what I mean? And just having that amount of like, you know, fuck feeling lonely or feeling like you need somebody, you feel lonely. It's more important to me to be a better person in these relationships versus just getting in them or just,
that's,
you know,
beautiful. That's growth.
You know, but then on the fucked up part, LaRussell, is now I'm famous, so I'm gonna find a nigga and I talk about sucking dick all the time. You know what I mean? Because I don't even
a lot more difficult. Like
that. I just talk about it.
The difficulty increases once you have a claim.
Oh my God, because now I don't know if they like me. If they want to repost. You know?
Right.
Like, how do you date?
If they want to repost.
These niggas eat my ass for a repost.
Right. Bro. And I think, like, when you get a certain acclaim, right, eating ass for a repost is extreme. Yes. That's extreme. They didn't want the repost. Oh, they really? Just wanted to eat your ass. They tricked you.
If I post a nigga real, I can get my ass ate. And oh, I probably God. Get a little gift too. I'm keeping it real. I mean, like, seriously, it's been times where guys are trying to call at me now, and it's so obvious that he doesn't know nothing about me.
Right.
He don't know what I do. All he knows is this bitch is famous. She might get me in a room. Da-da. And it's such like, oh God, it's nothing more unattractive when you kind of peep this nigga's motive.
See, and that's the thing. I feel like you can always sense that energy.
I can, kind of.
Yeah, yeah. I'm always real. Able to kind of sense and peep that energy that's like leeches. And
you know how I know? We one of them young, cutie cute niggas, you know, hair all curly and shit. You got the watch all shiny and all that. He rap. You don't want me.
Right.
Nigga. Your views are low. You want to repost. For real.
Stop.
I mean, I'm from Philly. Everybody raps. Right. Everybody in Philadelphia rap. My grandma rap. Kid you not.
So how many repos have you given?
It's
go check the story.
Up.
It's all repos.
It's time to wrap it up. You can DM me for promo. No. I'm so glad that you came, and I do want to come on you. I just want
to
be your friend.
Yeah,
and I
want to
come
to
your backyard. Yeah, and I'm proud of you, and I'm excited for your career, and I hope, if not for nothing, that you just keep just oozing all this positivity and you rub it off on people and you make other people as positive and friendly and, you know, loving that you are, though, for real, Russell. You're a special guy.
I love it.
All right. I appreciate you coming on.
Yeah. Come on.
No, I'm manifesting that LaRussell, all his positivity just oozes over everybody and then everybody be on some positive shit.
Come on.
Like niggas in Philly see him and they go, yoo-hoo, that just raised you.
Yeah. Yoo-hoo. It changed your day, right? Just something as simple as that.
I feel better already.
Yeah.
Yoo-hoo. It could be a bye or goodbye, like aloha. That's it. Thanks.
Love it.
That's a good joint.
That was great.